Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Zuno Group Limited Half Year Results Conference Call. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question via the webcast, please type your question into the Ask a Question box. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Paul Hislop, Managing Director. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Zuno Investor Conference. What I'd like to do is I'll hand over to Paul Raudelich shortly, and he will go through the financial presentation. I'd like to do that reasonably quickly because I know there'll be a lot of questions, and we're looking forward to those. So, Paul, if you could just commence now on the financial part of the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. So let's go straight into our business highlights for the first half of FY21. So strong FY21 half year financial performance, high operating margins achieved with low overheads combined with orders placed of 7.1 million in December. Now, if those orders had been shipped by 31 December, revenue would have been 21.5 million. So our revenue was 14.4 million for the first half, compared to 1.7 million in the prior year. That was a 12.7 million improvement, or a 741% increase. If we look at the EBITDA result, operating EBITDA was 2.9 million. And FY20 was a loss of 700,000. That was a 3.6 million improvement, or a 541% increase. Inventory is still high at 14.3 million, but that allows us to meet current and future demand quickly. Looking at our gross profit margin, that was 8.5 million for the first half, or 59.1% of revenue, compared to 0.9 million of FY20, or 52.1%. So that was a 7% margin improvement. Our EBITDA margin, as I said, was the result was 2.9 million, and the EBITDA margin was 20.1%. The result was a 541% increase over the prior year. Moving into the financial summary, and the consolidated balance sheet. Zuno has a strong balance sheet with sufficient capacity to fund growth. Our net assets are 18 million, and that was a 14.8 million improvement over FY20. Our net cash is 7.3 million, and that was a 4.6 million improvement over the prior year. With our capital efficiency metrics, they're very good metrics achieved for Zuno, with a return on assets of 9.9% and return on equity of 10.6%. So with our balance sheet, we've got shareholder funds of 18 million compared to 3.2 million the previous year. That's a 14.8 million improvement. Our cash flow and working capital management, strong operating cash flow despite a tax payment of 2.5 million. If we had not made that tax payment, our operating cash flow would have been positive 6.1 million. At the moment, it's a 4 million improvement over the prior year. So our working capital is actively managed with strong focus on cash flow. As I said, we've got a huge investment in inventory of 14.3 million to supply customers relatively quickly. Majority of customers are 50% cash up front on placing the orders and 50% prior to delivery with terms for the rest. A dividend was paid of 5.1 million and, as I said, a tax payment of 2.5 million. That reduced the year-end cash balance. If those payments weren't made, their cash balance would have been 14.9 million. Zuno, as you know, is a very low capital intensive business and we have no external bank debt. So looking at some of the key metrics and our revenues in the first half and the composition of that, business to business was 11.6 million or 81% of the total turnover of 14.4. B2C was 2.2 million, beg your pardon, and 15% of total revenue, and animal health was 0.6 million, which was 4% of our total revenue. With orders in place in December of half a million and further orders in January of 0.4 million. So that will be a very good start to the second half of FY21. And that concludes the financial presentation. Over to you, Paul.
Okay, we'll start the questions now.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question via the webcast, please type your question in the Ask a Question box. Your first question comes from Paul Ianni, shareholder. They ask, I have a question about the nasal spray. At the November AGM presentation, you said, we have trialled it up noses with stunning results. Could you elaborate on the trials and the results and the purpose?
Yes, good question. We are entering into an arrangement in New Zealand with Professor Richard Douglas. And if you Google Richard Douglas, ear, nose and throat, he is one of the preeminent ear, nose and throat professors globally. He works in the public health and the private system as well, and he lectures all around the world also. He has been trialling the product extensively up people's noses. The problem with nasal infections is you get what's called a bacteria membrane, where the bacteria gets stuck in a membrane that forms inside the nose, and you need to have something that can break down the membrane and destroy the bacteria. So in the preliminary trials he has done, we have achieved a lot of success. What we are now moving on to is clinical studies. So he has put together a team, and we're going to be starting clinical studies and clinical trials really shortly in Auckland in association with Auckland University. Now, these clinical trials and clinical studies could go on for up to 18 months. So it's not a short process. And then if successful, we will license the technology to global pharmaceutical companies. We are doing two other products as well. One is for the ears, a ear spray, and the other is for burns, with the idea of infusing Xeno into bandages and direct application to the wounds to promote healing. Now, the advantages of Xeno are it's a water-based technology, so you don't get any stinging or any pain or any nasty side effects. Professor Douglas is very excited about the whole program, and the likelihood is we'll be able to get some reasonably substantial government funding from the New Zealand government as well for this project. So, and look, according to the experts, I didn't realise how big up the nose was, okay? It's a multi-billion dollar industry globally. So, look, it's early days, but new product development is an important focus for the management team. Next question.
Thank you. Your next question comes from James Jack, customer. They ask, do you have a forecast for 2H 2021?
Look, forecasts are difficult, but we're confident it'll be better than last year. We've got a lot of work in progress. We've got significant things that we are working on at the moment. A lot of it's confidential. I can't share the names of the companies that we are working with, but many top 100 companies in the world we've been doing trials with. Just to give you an example, a major software company Silicon Valley-based, has been trialing our product unbeknown to us, and they came to us out of the blue after the trials and said, hey, you've got a wonderful product here. We've tested it against all these other products, and there was no comparison. Our people are coming back to work in May. We want to start applying our offices and warehouses in March. So when our people come back to work in May, the buildings are protected. The first building is 15 million square feet, to give you an idea of the scale here. So the lockdown has been bad for our business because if people haven't been at work, there's been no reason to use our product. So now that people are coming back to work, large companies and institutions and governments are putting together work-safe programs to keep their people safe. Next question.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Donald Arthur, and they ask, what is your 10-year vision for Zuno, if you have one?
Look, I've had a vision for Zuno from the day I found this technology. Okay, I've had a vision for it. We've only just scratched the surface. We're only just starting, really. And my 10-year vision for the company, it's big, okay? It's really big. I may or may not be around still. I hope I am, because, you know, there's unfinished business here, and I do intend to drive this company as hard as we can. You know, like, I'd like to be a $1 billion company in 10 years' time, okay? That's where I'd like to be.
Your next question comes from Craig Jewis, and they ask, how do the results of the first half of the FY21 compare to the results of the second half of the FY20 in terms of revenue, EBITDA, and NPAT?
Well, they're worse, obviously, but I think we've explained it away. Like, Zuno isn't a grocery store. When you walk into the grocery store and buy something, rig it up on the till, and the money ends up in the bank account. When we get an order, like, for instance, we got 7 million in orders in December. When we get an order, the process begins. Every country has a different label. We have to print the labels. We have to blend the product. We have to package the product. We have to arrange for containers and export. That's been really challenging as well. The logistics in the business at the moment are hard. There's a global shortage of containers. So it's very hard to judge us quarterly on quarterly results. Certainly, the half yearly is a lot easier, but often it's just a timing thing. If we'd shipped the $7 million when we received the orders, we would have been better than the first half. So it's just a timing thing. We're confident. Next question.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Aaron Thomas, and they ask, why don't you sell 500 milliliter hand sanitizer for $9.99? Please make it cheap and accessible to a lot more people.
Well, first thing is that we don't want to cheapen our brand, and we're a premium product. We're not trying to compete with the Dettols and the Purells of the world. But look, good question, and we will look at that because recently we've been approached now more and more by major retailers with a view to selling our product in a retail environment, but we also want to protect our margins, like grow the top line and protect our margin. That's always been the game. But the retail business is a different kettle of fish altogether because it's you know, you've got to put so much money back into marketing and advertising and rebates, et cetera. But there's look, a good question. We will look at that. We will look at making it more available online at a better price. Thanks for the question. It's reminded me to do something about that. Next question.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Brian Joe, and they ask, in your opinion, how satisfied are you with the animal health progress and also the University of Iowa trials regarding swine flu?
Okay, well, the animal health is a long process because it's more difficult to get regulatory approvals in the animal health area than it actually is in the human area. And our people that are involved in animal health haven't been able to travel either. That's been another major issue. We're very confident with the animal health that it will grow and grow and grow and eventually be at least 20% of our business. As far as the Iowa pig trials are concerned, Arpium and Zuno Animal Health are managing those trials, and Arpium, when they released their results yesterday, they reported that the trial is ongoing, but after 7 days, Zuno was effective at tree log or better, which is 99.9% or better against all the major pig viruses. So we're now going to run those trials out to 7 days, but from what I hear, and I'm not directly involved in these trials, from what I'm being told, they're extremely excited about the results. Next question.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Chris Boone, and they ask, what was the motivation for the final dividend late last year? And is there likely to be a final dividend at the end of 2021? Is it fair to say 100% focus is on growth, but if there ends up being a substantial free cash flow, it will likely be used for dividends?
Look, at the time we paid the dividend, we had $14 million in the bank sitting there, lazy money, and it was earmarked for nothing. So the paying a dividend was an obvious thing to do. We can grow this business and still pay a dividend, and that will be the intention in FY21. Next question.
Thank you. Your next question comes from DF, and they ask, what will you be doing to increase share prices? For example, speaking to institutions and Regal funds.
The share price at the moment is a concern for all of us. I feel as though we're a bit oversold, we're a bit hard done by. I don't manage the share price. I don't come to work every day thinking to myself, how am I going to increase the share price today? Okay, that's not my main focus. My focus is to run the business, grow sales, grow opportunities, sign global distribution agreements with great companies, and just grow and grow and grow. If we get it right, the share price will fall. Next question.
Thank you. Your next question is another question from DF, and they ask, what has happened to the 7-Eleven USA trial?
Okay. I got an update on the 7-Eleven trials this morning. They ran the first 90-day trials, okay, and they were really excellent results. They're now 30 days into the next 90-day trial. They want to do 90-day trials. Being a bit of a miserable organisation, they don't want to have to apply the product every 30 days. They want to apply it every 90 days to get more bang for the buck. So when we get through the next 90-day trial, we're expecting to be progressing with an agreement. Like, trials take time. It's frustrating as hell, to be honest. They go on and on and on. But look, there's a bigger picture here. They've got 70,000 stores globally. So we've been very patient with them. We're not involved in the trials. They've engaged an independent laboratory to run the trials. So I suspect that the laboratory might be trying to milk it a little bit as well. But so far, so good, and we're confident. Next question.
Thank you. Your next question is from DF, and they ask, will you be hiring more business development managers and sales teams? Revenue has fallen despite your positive feedback at previous shareholder meetings. It is disappointing to see share prices fallen over 65%.
Look, I think you've got to have a look at where we've come in the last 12 months. And really, we've come a long way. And the answer isn't just to go out and hire lots of salespeople. A lot of the companies that we work with, like the large facilities management companies, they have their own sales teams. So our resources are better spent on training their own sales teams and their own business development people that have direct access to their customers, like companies like Bunzl and Apalian Civest, Compass Group. We're spending time with them, training their sales teams. For us to go and employ salespeople all around the world would just be financially crippling and would be worse off. So what we need is good key people in strategic locations who can train, who can set relationships up. Like, it's much easier for us to relationship with the likes of Atalian, Civest in the UK that have 500,000 customers in Europe. They can sell our product to every one of those customers in Europe. They have 3,000 salespeople. So let their salespeople sell the product, give them the tools to sell the product, and that is what's happening. Next question.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Paul Hay, and they ask, does Paul intend to sell any more of his holdings, and is there any other institutional interest other than Regal for a stake in the business?
Look, it's not my intention to sell any shares at these prices, okay? I'm still a dominant shareholder in the company, and I'm not sure if that's good for the company or bad for the company, but certainly at this stage, it's not the intention to sell any shares. We get approached by institutions all the time. All the time. We've got UK institutions, we've got US institutions. We don't have a requirement to raise any cash. So at this stage, it's just business as usual. Next question.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Chris Boone, and they ask, with Qantas, Singapore Airlines, and United Airlines being globally recognised customers, are airlines such as British Airways, American Airlines, Emirates and Etihad, or even locally Air New Zealand, shown interest in our products?
Yes, and we'll look at that. Although we've got some of the major airlines on board, we're selling to Korean Airlines as well, Cathay Pacific, quite a lot of the smaller European airlines. We're also in China now, and we've just had to pass some testing in China at the Civil Aviation Laboratory, so we can start and sell to China Airlines and Eastern China Airlines, etc. So we expect to be making sales into those organisations by April, May. Next question.
Thank you. Your next question.
I didn't answer it. Air New Zealand, waste of time. British Airways, we're working with. Next question.
Your next question comes from Adil Aziz, and they ask, one, what is the company doing about addressing the rumours in the market regarding efficiency and accuracy of the product? And two, we understand the requirements is to share information with market, which meets a certain criteria. However, what issues is there in sharing deals like Chinese/Japan happening last week? Do note, I did not know of this until I went into social media to see what's happening.
Well, good questions again. Initially, people that are doubting the efficacy of the product, if they email me directly, I can send them 200 independent laboratory test results. As far as announcing deals are concerned, we're on the ASX COVID watch list, and they have to screen every thing that we announce. So sometimes to avoid the pain, it's easy just to put it out on social media. Remembering that the only contracts that we are obliged to announce are material contracts, and neither the Japan contract or the Shanghai childcare group that's on social media also, at this stage, are material contracts. But look, we do get a bit frustrated also because there's things happening in our organisation all the time, and one of the reasons we have social media is we can share information that otherwise would not qualify to be released through an ASX platform. Next question.
Thank you. Your next question comes from John Morelli. And they ask, with the share price falling so dramatically in the last 8 months, have you had any company approaching you to buy you out?
Look, I can't answer that. Next question.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Chris Greaves, and they ask, are you still expecting US FDA test results for Z71 products by the end of February, i.e. tomorrow?
Okay, so where we are there is where the laboratory situation in the US at the moment, to be able to get laboratory time is extremely difficult. We keep getting bumped all the time. So what we've done is we're doing an initial screening test against human COVID-19, and the results against human COVID-19 shows that we are very strongly active against it to at least 4 log, okay? But this is a screening test only. So what a screening test is, it's like a pre-test to see if it's worthwhile spending $50,000 to do the whole test. So I can tell you here right now that our screen test against human COVID-19 is showing a greater than 4 log kill rate. And we're doing the full test. Next question.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Abdul Razak from ZNO, and they ask, are these strong sale numbers sustainable in a post-COVID world?
Well, I think they are because people now are coming to us and they're saying to us, have you got a product that can protect our staff when everyone comes back to work? Okay, so this is all about, and look, I had a long conversation this morning with some very big groups in the USA. One of them is in the entertainment industry, and another one is in the sports arena industry. Now, both those industries have been decimated, and they are trying to work out how they can incorporate Zuno into their businesses when they open the cinemas again, and they open all the sports arenas again, and get people back in there again. So we believe that that what the COVID has done for us, it's made us as a brand. A lot of people now globally are aware of Zuno, okay? And I'm continually surprised where I see our product being sold all the time. And those of you who follow social media will see it popping up all over the place with the Canadian distributors, with the Irish distributors, the UK, Germany, China, obviously. More and more and more, we're getting pushed through into organisations. And that includes the UK government as well. We're working on some really solid opportunities at the moment. So, look, the post-COVID, There's no such thing as postcode. COVID is here. It's going to mutate. It's going to stay here. It'll be like the influenza. The world will have to learn to live with COVID. It's not going to go anywhere. And that's been stated by the World Health Organization, the experts in the UK. So what everyone has to do is control COVID, a bit like they learned how to control influenza, the flu. So COVID, the end of the lockdowns, post-COVID, we believe our business will grow. Next question.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Ian Cameron with CZZ. They ask, an interim dividend would have boosted investor confidence. What was your rationale for not paying one?
Well, it's really to do with the clinical trials that we'll be undertaking shortly on the new products and the money that might be required for those clinical trials. And I felt that the market would like to see us investing in new product development, new products, and new very large revenue producing opportunities rather than paying out an interim dividend. Next question.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Andre Ho, and they ask, will you improve your shareholder communications via ASX and social media? You need to share all good news about Zuno to all shareholders as soon as possible.
Well, once again, a lot of the good news is really sensitive. Like a lot of the companies that we deal with don't want to share the good news until they've had an opportunity to get public relations out of it. And example of that was United Airlines. They didn't want us to release anything until they'd done all their press releases and gone on Good Morning America and all that stuff. So, and a lot of the organisations don't want to be seen to be used by us to gain share price increases, if you like. Okay, so it's a fine line. We share the information when we can, but I'm also very respectful of a lot of the organisations that we deal with that we don't pull the trigger too fast. Next question.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Kwan Gan from the University of Sydney, and they ask, can Zuno make any COVID and longevity related claims in the UK and other European countries?
Okay, so COVID claims in the UK, because every European country is different, and some of the European countries we can start to make COVID claims. Within the UK, we just have to be quite clever with the wording, okay, because the UK has a very old regulation that goes back to the 1920s or 30s, where if you make a virus claim, you have to be classified as a drug or a medicine. As we are neither a drug or a medicine, we can't make COVID claims directly. Certainly, we have tested our product extensively in the laboratories in the UK, and both our hand sanitizer and surface product is highly effective against COVID. We certainly share these results with our customers, and that satisfies them and they buy the product. But we do have to be very careful around COVID claims, as all companies have to be. Next question.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Victor Velcroft from VFM, and they ask, in regards to the Fine Group agreement, what sort of monthly sales volume is being achieved? On target to meet their $15 million USD volume?
Okay, so the $50 million USD volume was their three-year projection. Okay, so let's be clear on that. Currently, we are only supplying them into three countries, UAE, Jordan, and Doha, and their average sales are in excess of $500,000 per month into those three countries. Now, they are working on their European approvals, their UK approvals, the Canadian approvals, US approvals, Australian approvals. So we expect Fine Group to be a really significant partner for us. So the $50 million over 3 years, I can't guarantee that, but I'd be surprised if we didn't get that. Next question.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Chris Boone, and they ask, what is the worst-case scenario for Zuno? Regarding the skyscraper court case for 2022, and has any cash been set aside if the case is not seen in our favour?
Oh, look, skyscraper is a bit irrelevant, to be honest. In fact, our case against them is better than their case against us. We haven't set any cash aside. It'll be 3 years before it goes to court. I don't lose any sleep over it all. Next question.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Rob Burdo, and he asks, has the regulatory issue with the UK been fully resolved?
Look, nothing's ever fully resolved with regulators anywhere. It's a minefield. Let's say it's currently under control. We are making claims. We are doing new testing at the moment under the directive of the UK government that they have requested at the Portman Downs Laboratories in the UK. And so that's with a view to getting on the government procurement list in the UK, which will open up a lot of opportunities in the UK around the NHS, where we've completed very successful trials. We'll be selling it to the UK police. Our product is being sprayed and fogged in the House of Lords and the House of Commons, other UK government buildings. So, the regulators are what they are, and we'll deal with them. Once again, I don't lose any sleep over them. Next question.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Raju Ahmed with CCZ Equities, and they ask, for Zuno to achieve your guidance of $38 million plus in revenue for FY21, the company needs to deliver at least $24 million in sales in FY21. Are you currently on a run rate to achieve that? And what was your Jan 21 sales or orders outstanding?
Look, our run rate is strong, very strong. We're on target. I think January delivered and invoiced sales is probably about $4 million, was it, Paul?
Yeah, that's correct, Paul.
Something like that. So, look, our run rate's fine. Our run rate's fine. And look, our pipeline is very strong as well. So, if we deliver on some of the king hits we're working on at the moment, we will exceed those sales easily. But I'm not going to make any promises at the moment or get dragged into that, but we're confident that we'll exceed it. Next question.
Thank you. Your next question comes from John Nelson with Nelson's Management, and they ask, I have seen internet articles that say some products sold by Zuno resellers contain alcohol. Is that correct? And if so, does it create any problems with the Zuno brand?
It's totally incorrect. All our products are alcohol-free, except in the USA. They love alcohol in the USA, and the hand sanitizer that we manufacture specifically for CVS Pharmacy has got alcohol in it. Next question.
There are no further questions at this time. I'll now hand the conference back to Mr. Hislop for closing remarks.
Okay, so look, thanks everybody for your time today. From what I get from the questions is our share price has taken a hit. There's an obvious concern around that, and in fact, it's really been on a decline since we paid the dividend last year, to be honest. It's gone slowly down. So I realise that is a concern for a lot of people, and I do feel for the people who bought into the stock at over $3. The only thing I would say is give us some time, be patient, we will deliver. And that's and look, I make myself available to shareholders. My phone number's published. You know my email address. I try and talk to people as often as I can. If I could ask you to ring me at night time, it's a lot easier after the day. So feel free to call. I do try and make myself available, as does Paul Ravlich as well, on the financial questions. But I think that's really all I have to say. And let's just get on and produce. Get back to work.
That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.